Ashley, can you talk to me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You now you can hear me.
There you
definitely
are. Yes.
Get a jeers. You get two thumbs down to the Jasons.
Oh my gosh.
Who just can't seem
this
to hear.
This is unbelievable. This.
And then to say you can just wind me up and I can talk and talk. You could have stopped me. Did you think I couldn't hear you? I could hear you the whole time.
You know what? We don't want to stop you. That was the whole point. Just let it go.
Listen, he said that you were like me in that sense, and it's Jason's highest compliment. It's his highest compliment.
See, Ashley?
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey guys, welcome back to the second annual Cheers and Jeers episode. Wheeler is so excited, but look at the smile on his face, guys, right now. Look at the smile on this guy's face.
Biggest it's going to get.
He is so excited about this. He brought this entire list in.
I am excited about
people
this.
He wants to give cheers to.
Mainly those, jeers. It's mainly jeers.
Well, if you know Wheeler, it's not a surprise to you at all. So,
this is a tradition now. We have a tradition on this podcast.
This is the only tradition we have, I think isn't it?
It might be.
So cheers
other
and jeers.
Giving everybody each other a hard time.
Joining us for Cheers and Jeers is Ashley Godeau, political director at KVU in Austin, and our good friend Bud Kennedy, columnist at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, two regulars on our TV program Inside Texas Politics. But if you missed it last year, Cheers and Jeers is very simple. We will raise a glass to those Texas politicos who've had a great year, done something fantastic. And for those who haven't, and there's a bunch on our list here.
What do we do for that gesture-wise?
What could we do? You said you're into the jeers.
Take
what
a shot. I don't know.
Take a shot. I'm not taking a shot for these
people. No.
Pour
no,
a little
Jason.
Out, maybe.
Maybe
yeah,
a thumbs
would you
down.
Do, bud?
a thumbs down. There it is,
what do,
bud.
What do thumbs down on that?
Better idea.
This is a fun episode. We look back and remember folks who've done things over the year. And we highlight that, so it's a good time.
I think it's informative, too, because, you know, we all know the speed at which life moves now and news comes at us out of this sort of fire hose. And it's hard to remember sometimes what happened just last week, much less back in January of this year. And I think it's good for us all to kind of recount some of this stuff and go, oh, yeah, that was good, or oh, yeah, that was really terrible.
And we may not want to remember 2025, and those on the jeers list definitely don't want to remember 2025. But let's start things off. Our good friend Bud has the very first cheers, and this is, Bud, has this person ever received a cheers before?
I don't think this has ever been a cheer before, but I'm going to raise a can instead of a glass today to Senator Ted Cruz. Some people would say this is a year when Senator Cruz started making sense. He took some very brave stances this year. They were kind of contrary to what your normal Trump mega thinking might be. He stuck up for Jimmy Kimmel and free speech. He said that the head of the FBI was a dictator. He called Tucker Carlson a coward. He stuck up against anti-Semitism. Cruz spoke out against that, and then he criticized tariffs and said they're just another form of taxes. What he's doing, Ted Cruz is getting in position to run for president next time around. He wants to be the anti-Vance, but this was a really good year for Ted Cruz.
And what are you drinking there, Bud? You said it was a can? What was that? I couldn't see it.
I think this is the Coke Double Zero, Jason. It's zero sugar, zero caffeine. And you know,
what's in it then, Bud?
You know, I was born back in the 1900s, Jason. So that's what that's what you have to do.
Way back when.
Ashley, before we get to you though, here, what are you drinking though? You have something.
I'm
very
having
fancy
a
for
little rosé, because you know why not?
Okay. All right. Respect
and
that.
A festive. Shout out to our friends at the Manhattan Project Brewing Company, a beer company. In West Dallas, who always have us in. So a cheers to Manhattan Project as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
I'm waiting for my delivery. Jason, I'm waiting for my delivery. It may be stuck somewhere in Arlington.
You just keep waiting there.
You
bud.
And
you
me both,
waiting.
But it also looks like you guys are eating, and so we are super jealous.
I hit my bowl.
Never mind that. No, don't worry about the steak bowl over here. So Wheeler's actually up next, and I can't wait.
Oh, I thought Ashley was next. Shouldn't we have our guests go first?
No. Wheeler, you're up next. We have a very important rundown here of how we're keeping things together, and according to what I've been given by our producer,
okay,
you're next. And I cannot – we don't know what's on his list.
Heck, here's –
The rest of us three have talked about it, but Wheeler's list is completely wild card, and it may be something we have on our list later on.
Yeah, here's the fun part. I don't even know what's on my list, to be honest with you. It's kind of an ad hoc list, we'll call it.
And you have a jeers.
I do have to start with a jeers, and it's a serious one. And you know, I don't think that we could look back over this year without looking back to what happened in Kerrville on July 4th of this year. Just absolute, utter tragedy there. The flood along the Guadalupe that took so many lives, including so many young lives in this state. And, you know, from the very beginnings, you could see that it wasn't just weather that went wrong. There was something that went wrong in the planning for this. There was something that went wrong in the response to this. And it goes all the way back to the legislative session where lawmakers failed again in the regular legislative session. There was a bill before them to create better warning systems along Texas rivers. It took another tragedy, and I say another because we've seen this happen over and over and over again, especially along the Guadalupe River over the years and the decades. It took this one. It took another one to happen before lawmakers went, you know what? Let's get this critical mass together, get in this special session, and get this done, and get these sirens out, and get the communications down between first responders. And it's just such a tragedy on top of a tragedy that so many lives, especially those young lives, those little campers along the river, had to be lost for progress to finally be made on this issue. And I still don't think we've peeled back the full onion on this to figure out where all of the failings occurred. But I think we have to know that, you know, we got to get down to the bottom of that to prevent that kind of thing from ever happening again. These rivers are beautiful. We all love them. We all enjoy them here in Texas. But they got to be safe first and foremost, especially if you've got cabins sitting there in flood zones.
So this jeers is for Kerr County government?
Kerr County. I mean, this goes all the way up to the state, though. Legislators as well. You know, they had a chance in the regular session to get some progress on this. And this wasn't the first regular session they've had a chance to do this. This has been brought up over the years and was just never done. So there's jeers to go all around here, I think. But also just in, you know, that timeline. The timeline is still troubling. You know, when you knew things were going wrong or when it looked like things were going wrong, did everything fold in the way it was supposed to? And it appears that it definitely did.
And there were cabins on the floodplains that had been approved and grandfathered in. There are too many questions that people should have, the Texans and Texas should have been prepared for. I don't think anyone would argue with you on that one.
So that was a heavy one to start off with. But I just thought, you know, we got to talk about that because that was one of the biggest news stories in this state for this year and you know, looking back over many years,
I think. It'll take time to correct that. Ashley, you're up next with a cheers, so get that rosé, that blush, as we called it, or Zinfandel. Get that out.
Zinfandel? No, we're not going to call it Zinfandel. You're showing, like, all of your age now, okay? But we're going to give a big cheers to State Senator Paul Bettencourt from Houston, Texas. Because we all got those tax bills in the mail recently, did we not? And we all get a $140,000 homestead exemption. And that's because he worked so hard to increase the homestead exemption. So cheers to him for that. That is something all Texans can appreciate. I just also want to note that there was another bill that he passed to increase the homestead exemption for seniors and folks who are disabled. Their total homestead exemption now is $200,000. And so for a lot of people, that means they don't have to pay any school, any ISD taxes. This is huge for them. Could this potentially backfire when the state didn't have a surplus? Maybe, but we're not gonna worry about that right now. In 2025, we're gonna worry about this exemption that we have, and times are good, and the money is flowing. Thank you, oil and gas. And so here's to you, Senator Bettencourt.
Cheers to Senator Bettencourt on that, because we all see that in property tax bills. I have the next one. It's a jeers. And what in the world were they thinking? This jeers is for Austin City Council. Huh. So as long as we're on the topic of property taxes here, Austin City Council had the bright idea of raising property taxes 20% to pay for homeless and a handful of other things around the city. They needed the cash to fill in the budget. Even the liberal people who live in Austin, the liberal folks and the conservatives like Ashley, said absolutely not. We're not raising property taxes 20% here. We already have the highest property taxes in the nation. So the next jeers is for Austin City Council. Get a grip, guys. Come on.
So tone deaf.
Tone deaf is the kind way of saying it. Mm. You know, it's unbelievable they would have the nerve to do that to me. Mm-hmm. Ashley, you live there.
I can't afford to live in Austin, Texas.
And that was before an extra 20% tax.
Yeah. I mean, it's the cost of living in Austin, especially if you want to have a house and you want to have a family, and you know, it's pretty crazy here. But just to think, not only when times are tough, you're constantly hearing about inflation and the cost of groceries. They didn't want to just raise enough money to like pay for the things that we're currently doing. It's the fact that they wanted to pay for new stuff too. Like, this is not a time for new.
Yeah.
This is a time to survive.
Maybe that's the headline of the podcast.
This is not a time for new.
It's a time to survive. 2026 Yolitics.
See, sometimes Ashley gets wound up and she just lets you go.
You wind her up, let her go like Wheeler, and they will just, remember the Energizer Bunny? They just bounce and bounce all over the place, but they will just go. Bud, you brought the next one up here, and it's somebody that I didn't immediately know, but it's somebody who's very influential.
Jason, I have to give a big jeers to Harmeet Dhillon, formerly Trump's election lawyer, now from the Department of Justice. Everybody in Austin has been wanting to jeer her. You know, back in the summer in July, she wrote a letter saying that Texas needed to redistrict its congressional seats because the districts were drawn to create coalition racial districts. Well, as soon as that got to Austin, the Republicans knew they couldn't follow that letter. They wanted to redistrict. They wanted to do what the president wanted, but they couldn't have it involve race at all because that would get it thrown out by the federal court. The letter that she wrote set up a faulty premise for redistricting. Now, they were careful in Austin. They didn't talk about race when they were drawing the new districts. They defended that in court, but it sure made it tougher. And the Republicans knew it and admitted it, that the Justice Department letter was just a big foul-up when it comes to redistricting in Texas.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, you talk about wanting to take something back. I can't imagine, especially when the two of the three justices note that letter specifically as the reason that they turned down the new Texas maps. It's just very surprising.
And that is exactly what inspired California to do its thing and push through and secure what they think will be five new Democratic seats that will be flipped from Republicans in the next midterm election. And so at best, that would cancel out what Texas did. And at worst, you know, depending on how this shakes out in the courts, it may actually net lose Republican seats.
Yeah, benefits could gain, you know, because of that letter right there. Wheeler, you're up next, man. You have a cheers. Who's on the list?
Does it say I have a cheers?
Yeah. Do you not have any more cheers?
I'm all out of cheers.
He's all cheers. He should work on being more positive in 2026.
Actually, I do. I have cheers coming up.
Do you have any more?
But I've got to do a jeer this time.
Wheeler. You just do you.
And it's kind of a double jeer. The first one is for whoever is responsible, and there's a lot of people responsible, the state in general, that we still don't have this bullet train. Where is this bullet train? Remember years ago, what was it, 2014?
Winding them up. Here we go.
Oh,
get out of the way.
This is what
this
you mean.
This Energizer Bunny's
this
going.
This is what you mean.
Yeah.
Wheeler's getting in the zone.
So because I'm having to listen to family members, you know, who come up from Houston. You know, we're trying to do the holidays.
They want to come see you.
We're trying to do the holidays at my house, right? Yeah. Because I'm always the one who does the driving and goes down there, right? So they're coming up to see me, and it's endless about how bad it was, and oh my God, and I'm never doing this again, and it's just on and on and on. And I just keep thinking, where is this train? Like, we talked about this. It looked like it was really happening, it still isn't happening.
45 is not that. 45 is boring. 35 is terrible.
45 is terrible.
What was the last time you were on 45?
on 40, actually, when are you ever on 45? Come on, going
sir,
up to Dallas.
I went to Sam Houston State University. I drove 45 like it
you
was.
You crossed it. You didn't go. You go up 45, did
yes,
you?
Yes. Oh, what are you talking about? From Houston to Huntsville.
All right.
Houston has been under construction since I was in high school, and it's still under construction.
Thank you.
Jason's won a bullet train. We don't even have a turtle train. We need something to get people from Houston to Dallas.
Let's do that, bud. Bud, you're so right. Let's do a slow train first. Well, can we do a slow train and then speed it up?
There is a slow train, but it goes through Austin to get to Houston, I believe.
That's really slow. Yeah, that's too slow.
It's like 26 hours to get to Houston, I believe.
But I mean, you know, it seems like, and I know how we are here in Texas. Everybody loves their automobile, you know, trucks in most cases. Everybody loves it. And, you know, we've got oil and gas here and all that, and, you know, fuel it up and drive it and get out there and be free and own the road and, you know, be the angriest driver you can be, because that's the way we do it here in Texas. But this place is tailor-made for high-speed train travel because it's an enormous state. It would be so nice. But that's not my full jeer. That was only half of it.
Oh, that's only half the jeer.
Oh,
actually,
there's more.
This is what I was talking about right here. The other half of this jeer,
this one goes all the way back to 2023, the prior legislative session.
This is 2025 session. We're talking about, bro.
It kicked in 2025, January 1st, to be exact. And this bill, I mean, it's got a gazillion names on it.
He's been saving this up.
I have.
2 years.
It's been marinating, we'll say. This bill has Harris, Harless, Goldman, Schaefer, Kane. It's got a bunch of co-authors, sponsors, co-sponsors, et cetera.
People aren't even legislature anymore.
Yeah,
this is
probably
like,
not.
Gone.
But this was the bill where they got rid of the regular mandatory safety inspections for cars. In the big cities, big counties, you still have to get the emissions test. But they got rid of the safety inspection for vehicles. And we did a podcast on this. The state asked its own, it commissioned its own study for this to say, would this be a good idea or a bad idea? Its own study that it funded said, oh, that would definitely be a terrible idea. Don't do it. And so they went, let's do it.
They
got rid of that. And yet you still get to pay for it. So the fee that you pay when you register your car and all that, you're still paying for that in full inspection, even though they're not even checking the safety stuff on your vehicle. And I bring that up because, y'all, show of hands, how many of us has been on the road with somebody that's got that one bright, bright headlight shining in your mirror, straight in your eye, because their headlights don't work right, or their taillights are out, or their brake lights are out? I just told somebody the other day when we pulled into the work parking lot, dude, you know that your brake lights don't work, right? And I almost like hit the back of your car. Oh, no, I didn't know that. Well, you would have if they wouldn't have passed this bill.
Are you one of those guys that flashes your brights at people?
I try not to.
But you do.
I try not to.
Okay, you need to not try. You live in Dallas and you will mess around and catch a case of road rage. I actually agree with you.
It's changed me.
I was behind someone and the car smelled awful. The exhaust was about to kill me.
Just pouring out of them.
I think my favorite part of this argument when this debate was happening was, well, Texans will do the right thing. People will be responsible and they'll take care of their vehicles.
No, they won't.
I was like, no, they won't. It's money. They're not going to spend money on important stuff instead of fun stuff unless you make them.
Those are the same people who say Texans are the friendliest people. They might be, but not on the roads. They're not. Nobody's friendly.
I just want to know
the friendliest guy on the podcast today.
I just want to know, Jason, are you this much fun at Thanksgiving dinner? Because this is laying it on pretty thick.
He's so much fun. People drive from Houston to see him. He's that much fun.
But this is why they're saying they don't want to do the drive. It's not really the drive that's the problem.
They'd rather take that 26-hour Amtrak.
Oh my gosh.
All right, well, we're only on, like, the third one so far. We have a whole list to go.
I'll speed it along.
Ashley, you're next. What do you have? You have a cheer or jeer for us?
I have a jeer for you, and this one is a pretty serious one. It is the Travis County District Attorney, Jose Garza. And, you know, the justice system is not perfect by any means, but the justice system does have safeguards in place to make sure things try to get done the right way. Reporting by KVU and by our partners at the Austin American-Statesman found that he and his team missed the deadline to indict criminals. over and over again, 263 times to be exact.
How do you miss the deadline? And I mean, did you not put it in your calendar or what?
Jason, I don't. Well, at one point he argued that the deadline was artificial, even though every other DA in the great state of Texas seems to be able to get it done within the timeline, according to the law. And then they said, okay, well, we're going to put some things back in place to bring this back. And there are things that I really want to point out. I mean, we're talking about murder suspects who get out on a dollar bond, right? Because the judges' hands are tied. They don't have a choice. But the most egregious... The most egregious was a confessed child sex offender who was not indicted within 90 days. So even though you had a confession, so you have the child, you have the confession, you have everything you need. Didn't take it to the grand jury, didn't get an indictment. The man gets released and then deported, right? So the family is not gonna get justice. And I mean, I hate to be dark and be this person, but do you think he's all of a sudden going to get deported and then stop being a horrible person who does crimes against children? Probably not. So you're just continuing. So I mean, this, I mean, now they say that they're not, you know, now they're able to meet the deadline after we found this out. But I mean, that is a jeer for sure.
Yeah, that's stunning. I mean, this isn't the age of a paper calendar anymore. You've got computerized systems, and this isn't a person acting on their own. You've got a whole staff. Yeah. Like, how do you...
Set a reminder. I mean, come on.
You should have, but there are DA's offices that have entire, like, it is someone's job specifically to make sure that this type of thing doesn't happen. And there's no structure in place, or there wasn't, right, what we uncovered. There was no structure in place to catch this sort of thing. So, I mean, it's just... We found out from one time from a murder suspect who got out, and then it just snowballed into, again, 263 times.
Actually, wow. Ashley, is that structure in place now?
It is. We are told it is in place now.
Okay, and that is a cheers. Raise your glass. That's a cheers right there.
Is that a cheers? Because you fixed the problem.
That's a cheers. Cheers to journalism, though, because journalism uncovered. You know, journalism's under fire a lot these days. Journalism uncovers some inconvenient truths, some things that are broken, and makes for positive change that affects every one of us. And it's got to be acknowledged.
I will cheers you all. And even more local journalism, right? Hats off to the local journalists who are making these differences, for sure.
And the system in place is reminders on the iPhone. I mean, what else can it be? Come on.
Anything.
Come on, guys.
Like, maybe make a paper calendar. Yeah. I mean, if it takes that.
Jason, I think I think the point to make here is this is not liberal or conservative. This is just bad management.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's so right, bud.
That's crazy. Well, let's get back into politics here for a moment. The next one's a cheers. Texas Democrats don't really get any cheers these days at all. Maybe amongst themselves, but not anywhere else. They've been in the doghouse for a couple of years now, couple decades, but you know, we all watched during the quorum break earlier this year. Oh, there's another quorum break. Nothing's going to happen. It never happens.
Same old.
You have to come back. The Republicans are always going to win.
You went up there with them.
We went to Illinois with them. Gene Wu, Ann Johnson, the whole lot of them. Harold Dutton. You know, everyone who was up there. They strategically picked the right place to go, a large media market.
Absolutely.
So you had Chicago up there. The Chicago News was up there. You had national news. You had, you know, news from Austin, Dallas, Houston, all across the state. And they successfully used this quorum break, which they knew they were going to get rolled on back at home.
And they did.
They used it, and they did, to get the attention of California.
Mm-hmm.
And Governor Newsom came down to Houston not too long ago and said, listen, thanks for letting us know about this, Democrats. And so in Texas, you know, passed its new map that would give the Republicans five more seats. The Democrats in charge out there in California, Governor Newsom, led the public vote to do the same out there, but give Democrats five seats up. So Texas Democrats deserve a cheers for that. So,
and you know, they got
these guys don't get a lot, and they figured out how to actually make it work.
And they got the attention. They did get the attention of the nation. And I think that, you know, Governor Newsom was always paying attention to this, to be honest. I think it made his sell job easier to the voters of California, sure, because they had to sign off on this. And from what I remember, the early polls on that suggested, you know, it could be a fight, could be a real sell job there in California. But man, it was a blowout when you got to the election, because people saw this on TV. People in California saw what was happening because they were successful in getting that coverage.
It sailed through. And Bud, you know, that's an ending. You watched a lot of these, Bud. That's an ending that I didn't expect. And we all knew what was going to happen to Texas Democrats, but the fact that they were able to spin up Californians surprised me.
Well, they learned their lesson. Texas Democrats learned their lesson during the COVID runaway a few years ago when it was ill-timed. They didn't maximize the publicity. They went up to Washington and started getting sick. Everything went wrong with that trip. This time, everything went right. They called attention beforehand to what they were doing. They had the Nicole Collier filibuster that brought more attention. They rallied all the attention they possibly could. You know, then they fled, drew more attention, and they stayed out until they could get national attention and make the rest of the country aware. This time they maximized the publicity and got California concerned about what was going on in Texas.
And, Bud, don't you think it actually benefited them that the state was going after them, that Republicans in this state started going after them and threatening them and, you know, trying to send people to arrest them and so forth? It only made the news headlines grow.
Oh, there were so many headlines about they were going to arrest Nicole Collier if she went to the bathroom out of the House chamber and things like that. Yeah. You know, it really, really cast Texas Democrats in a favorable light, maybe for the first time in a long, long time to the nation.
Yeah, indeed. So, Ashley, you're up next. You have a jeers.
I have a jeers. Me with all the jeers, right? And my jeers are pretty local. But this is someone that you guys in Dallas are very, very familiar with. So my next jeer goes to Austin's city manager, T.C. Broadnax.
This is a good one.
Because we learned that Mr. Broadnax was getting lunch on the city dime. And 150 times he had lunch sort of just delivered to his office. He says he didn't really know what was happening, right? That his secretary would just like have these lunches for him, these really nice $20 sweet green salads. That was the lunch choice.
And sweet green.
You know, he would eat them, and he wasn't really aware that they were being put on
expense to him,
expense to the taxpayer. And so when we uncovered this, so this is a jeer for sure, right? Because you have to know that like lunch is not just appearing out of thin air that you did not bring home and that you did not give your secretary your card to. And I understand you're working while you're eating, but not everything is a working lunch. Like we all know, we're always working and eating, right? This did come out and it was brought to his attention, he did pay the money back. So there is that. Good for him on that. But what is
going on at City Hall? What is going on?
Oh,
there?
I mean, I think that again, we need to raise property taxes by 20%, right? So no, just
to pay for those sweet greens, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's greens. Just kind of, you know, people. Maybe, but you know what? I have a question. Is this a thing in Dallas? Maybe this is the thing in Dallas.
Maybe we ought to look.
Yeah, we should have checked his credit card statements, but we didn't.
I think it's staggering, though. Like, if I don't actually pay for something out of my pocket and it keeps appearing, I'm going to assume that someone else is paying for that.
Well, yeah,
I'd like to know who I'd like to know who the lunch fairy is in Austin that he thought was paying for.
I mean, and I think at some point you say to your secretary, like, okay, what, I mean, because you're running the city, you're in charge. Like, you know, we are a council-led city, but the manager here in Austin is in charge of the city. You're trying to help us figure out money and savings and everything else. One of the big questions should be like, okay, is it, because you know it's not Airmark. You know it's not who the city is.
Oh, right.
Who is correct. Contracted right. with. You know that this is a sweet green bag, right? That's appearing on your desk, so I don't know.
that's a great one, Ashley. And I say that as someone who just polished off a salmon bowl here as part of this. And you know, I'm not
And he expensed it to the Yaltix account, by the way.
Yeah,
he
didn't pay for this one. I feel totally good about it because I completely understand that I'm not paying for this one. It actually went on Jason Whiteley's expense card, so I'll let him make sense of that.
I put my card over there.
But to be fair, you all do this on a – like, this is part of the perk of – doing the podcast, right? Like, this
is not
one
part
of the
perks. It's the only perk. This is the only
well,
perk.
Well, one might argue the beer is also
the beer,
you know,
too.
Nice. And you get
perks
to talk to me
There's
on occasion.
Perks.
But, like, that's part of it. But that's not, I mean, a working lunch is a working lunch. That's not
right,
a work. Every
right.
day is not a working lunch in your office. That's not, that's
correct.
Not cool.
Yeah. That's incredible. 150 times. Bud, you are up next with a different city hall, and this, is somebody I don't think we've had on the program before, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. Houston is a different place from the rest of Texas, and one of the mm-hmm. reasons is that Houston has a strong mayor form.
You can say that again,
Bud. Yeah, exactly.
Watch it.
Houston has a strong mayor form of government. The other big cities in Texas, mm-hmm. the city is actually run by the city manager. The city manager is the chief executive. The mayor is the moderator of the council, the leader of the council meetings. But in Houston, they have a strong mayor. He is the executive, and John Whitmire has shown he is that strong mayor. John Whitmire mm-hmm. has come in. The progressive Democrats in Houston don't like him because he's too moderate. They say he's too chummy with the Republicans. He says in these days in Texas, you have to get along with the Republicans. He's shown mm-hmm. people in Houston how to get along with the Republicans, how to get things done. He's come in, he's chopped the budget. He's cut more than $100 million out of the Houston budget. He saved money, and he's led Houston on a more moderate path. You know, there's some things he's done that I don't agree with. You know, cut out bike lanes, cut out some of the pedestrian-friendly streets. He didn't need to do that. Some of that was just virtue signaling to the conservatives in Houston. But it shows you, once again, it's all about the car. Houston is all about the car, and it's a very different place.
I don't know whether people expected Whitmire to be as strong as he has been after so many years in the Senate, you know, after decades in the state Senate, but he really has settled into that position and taken the reins of the city.
You know, you look at what he's done and you look at the way people have reacted. The Republicans really love him, and the Democrats are not so sure, but that is the way he was in the Senate. He's a traditional, moderate, labor Democrat from the old school.
It is an interesting political dynamic for sure.
Wheeler, you're up next, man.
Okay.
And again, we have no idea who this is going to be, guys.
Okay. It will not be a surprise that it's a jeer. It will be a surprise that it will be short. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
It
better not be me.
This is a jeers to Texas once again. We've got these vouchers, the school vouchers now that have been put in place. And people feel a lot of ways about these. A lot of people love them. A lot of people hate them. Using public tax money for private education. I have a jeer here that, you know, you're not setting up graduation tracking with these schools. They opted not to do that. How do you know? How do we as the public know? However you feel about vouchers, at the end of the day, you know, $1 billion or so has been set aside of our money to, you know, try it out. How do we know that it's working or not working if we're not looking at every metric possible? And I would say that graduation is probably a big metric when you're talking about education, the ability to actually get to the finish line. And, you know, we look at public schools for that. Let's do apples and apples. You know, if you're going to set up a new system, set it up apples and apples so that, you know, maybe if you've got somebody out there who's a voucher skeptic, they can go, well, gosh, this looks like it is working better than public education. Maybe I'm on board. Or, you know, vice versa. But shouldn't we know the metrics? Shouldn't we have the information if we're going to commit public dollars to something?
And such a huge conservative win, guys. I mean, you know, they've been trying to get this done for a while. Governor Abbott even campaigned against fellow Republicans.
Right.
To get this to happen. But that was, you know, the whole point. Here's the money. You guys continue doing what you're doing. We're not going to do standardized testing or use any of these metrics.
Yeah. I just, you know, again, you know, however you feel about it, and I'm not wading into the argument of are they good, are they bad. I'm wading into the if you're going to use all of our money to do something, measure it completely, as completely as you can.
Yeah. All right, I'm up next here. Ashley, I know you probably have to go. Stand by just a second. This is not going to be long.
No, you're okay.
Said this wasn't long. His is like a normal, like, 3 or 4 minute episode. Mine is, that's normal for me. It's short for Wheeler. So I have a cheers next, and this is for a Harris County commissioner, very local. Your hometown there, Ashley, your 832 hometown, but this is Harris County Commissioner Leslie Briones. Mm. We had her on our TV program, Inside Texas Politics, a few months back, and we had her on for one specific reason. Harris County was talking about, listen, the budget's tight like it is in you know, all over the place. The budget's tight. We need to raise the taxes to create more revenue in the county. Commissioner Briones said, listen, I'm a taxpayer too. Before we start paying, requiring people to pay more taxes, let me go through the budget with a fine-tooth comb and find out if there's anything in here we can do without. She found $275 million worth of stuff. Jeez. That you can do without. So here she is. Before asking property owners to pay more, she's going through and finding savings in there. Huge steward of taxpayer money. And she's a Democrat. Mm. You know, Democrats, bud. Texas Democrats should look for more people like her. It's a good message for them. So for that, Commissioner Briones, raising a glass to
it's you. It's nice to see Democrats cutting the budget.
Yeah. Ashley,
everyone likes to save money. Y'all are so funny. Everyone likes to save money. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I think everyone wants to, like, save the money,
right? Democrats, 100%, but Democrats have spent usually a little more, or at least have been known to spend. Now, the George W. Bush administration, the Trump administration, they spent a huge amount of money. But, when it comes
to a branding thing that you're talking
conservatism,
about.
Yeah, for what it's worth. And Ashley, you remember that we both lived in Houston, right?
Yes.
Wheeler and I.
Both
lived in Houston.
And you said 832.
I grew up in Houston.
I'm so Houston. I'm like 713 Houston, like before 832 was a thing.
That's what I was
going
to say. Yes.
I was 281 for a long time. But you're 832. I thought you were an 832 number. Are you 713?
You have a cell phone that's 832.
Oh, yes. So here Ashley is with several cell phones, and one of her burner phones is 713. She's not getting rid of that one. I wouldn't either.
Yeah, we're from the old 713.
Old school.
All right, Ashley, you're up next.
Okay, this one is kind of a controversial. I personally go back and forth on this one because I don't want to seem like I'm sending the wrong message, but I have a cheers.
Oh, please let it fly.
I have a cheers. And this is to State Senator Angela Paxton, and I'm gonna just say what it's for first before I go, for filing for divorce. Okay. I know, I wanna say that I believe in marriage, I believe in family, right? And I cheer for families and I want things to work out for people. But as a woman, she said she filed for divorce because of more infidelity. I want you to think about
biblical
this
reasons. Yeah,
this woman had to sit amongst her peers, amongst her co-workers, right?
Yep.
For weeks and listen to people talk about you and your affair, and then they brought her in there, okay, in
sure
her
did.
All-white outfit with her $3,000 purse, walking, strutting, sashaying up into the Capitol, all the cameras on her. You subjected this woman to utter and complete embarrassment. And she still stood by her man. She did the right thing. She stood by his side. She took all the pictures. She showed up smiling, waving to the crowd. She did all the things that she was supposed to do. And then to think you had the audacity to go out and do it again, right? And so for her to choose herself, right, to not do what the politicians want you to do, to not do what the party wants you to do, to not try to keep it together for the family, but to choose yourself and say, you know what, I don't deserve this. I'm not gonna keep going through this. And more on just on a political level, it's a distraction. She may have aspirations that go beyond the Texas Senate. And she can't do that if every time she does that, people are pointing back to the infidelity of her husband, right? It's a distraction. It becomes a distraction for her in the future. So cheers to you, Angela Paxton, for choosing yourself, okay?
And we wonder, yeah.
And you actually have a champagne flute there. I missed that.
Well, did you think I was going to be drinking out of a bottle?
Do you keep that at your desk?
Jason, let me tell you, I stay ready, okay? I am always ready for an occasion, right. Especially a celebration.
When that Pulitzer comes, she's going to be ready to celebrate.
She ready to pull that out of her bottom drawer and have a drink. All right, bud, so earlier I gave some Texas Democrats a cheers, but you have a jeers for a handful of them.
Yeah, I've got a whole team of jeers. We have a team of Democrats for jeers here. You know, we've got Beto O'Rourke, Colin Allred, and Tallarico, Jasmine Crockett. They've been playing this game of liar's poker for months now about who's going to run for Senate, who's not going to run for Senate. Tallarico and Allred have filed. Beto's hinted that he might. You know, Representative Crockett is closer now, saying that she might even. Julian Castro's gotten it a little bit. We still don't know exactly who's running and not running. You know, they've been arguing, and they even get in a room together and can't agree on who's going to run. Tallarico begged Allred to get out of the race. They're both still in it. Others might get in. But then down the ballot, Jason, the Democrats have got nobody with any kind of state ID. The people that the Democrats are running for the statewide offices are all from the legislature. They're not people who are known statewide at all. So you have all the big-time Democrats all want the chance to take on either the aforementioned Ken Paxton or John Cornyn for the Senate seat, but nobody wants to run for anything else, and they've all just been bluffing each other to see who's really going to run.
And did Tallarico really ask Allred to get out of the race?
I think that's the case. I believe he told people that's what he was doing.
That's the word on the street, huh? Hmm. Wow. Well, Wheeler, you're up next. I almost skipped over you.
That's okay.
No,
I understand.
Please, this
I
is
didn't
a
take
cheers.
It personally.
Do you have any cheers on your
I have
list,
a cheer
actually?
This time.
This is a cheer. Okay.
A cheer to the, I mean, it's a business-friendly climate here in Texas, and a cheers for what that has done to bring about Y'all Street. I mean, it really seems like it has come to fruition and reached sort of this critical mass this year. With you got the New York Stock Exchange opening up down here, you've got NASDAQ opening up down here, and you've got the Texas Stock Exchange opening up down here. You know, there are some critics on the consumer side who will say, Texas is able to lure more companies and into these exchanges because it's relaxing rules too much compared to other places where they can list. It's driving the economy. It's driving jobs. Dallas, in particular, has become this huge financial hub already, and this is just going to put that on steroids. Yeah. It'll create a lot of prosperity and jobs, and it'll be good in a lot of ways for the economy.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. And people are already talking about Dallas and Texas being this financial hub. I think about what everyone said about like Charlotte, North Carolina, when Bank of America moved there in the late 90s. Everyone's like, everyone's moving from Wall Street to Charlotte. But it seems like the growth here is a heck of a lot bigger than it ever was in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. It's
35 years ago.
Skyrocketed. It's exponential. Now, some people are getting ahead of themselves and saying, Dallas has taken over what New York is. You're not going to take over New York anytime soon in that sense. But it is a tremendous, exceptional development for Texas.
We have this. I didn't realize we still have a lot more to go here. Let me burn through my next one. It's DFW Airport, one of the busiest airports on the planet. And complete mismanagement during the holidays. So Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Thanksgiving rush. You watch any newscast, the busiest day of the year right now on the holidays. And, So DFW
is that how they sound on the news?
That's how they sound on the news. DFW should have set a calendar alert. I don't know if they're doing that in Travis County, but they should have set a calendar alert at DFW Airport to prepare for this. So you can enter DFW from the north or from the south. Well, the north is a complete mess right now because they're rebuilding Terminal C. These go back to the 60s or 70s. Bud can correct me on that. And they're rebuilding Terminal B also. They need to be redone, no question about that. The question is, should DFW have continued the work during one of the busiest weeks of the year? So you had all these people on the north side trying to get in, get their flight to go see their relatives. They couldn't take the train, as Wheeler mentioned, so they had to fly to get there. And it was a complete traffic jam.
People, well, there's like 30 lanes that go through the toll booths to get in, and then it all goes down to like three lanes.
Red
and
lights.
So the traffic, it was a sea of red lights.
Red lights, people getting out of their cars. You can see people walking in, dragging their bags behind them. Unbelievable. How DFW allowed that to happen is beyond me.
Jason, shout out to DART, though. You said you can't take a train. You could have taken the Silver Line. It does go to DFW.
Jason, that's Houston or somewhere else.
That's what I just want to point out. I think the problem there is we have this trifurcated transit system. You could have taken a train from either Tarrant, Dallas, or Denton County. Denton's train connects to the Dallas train. You could have taken the train to the airport, but nobody tells everybody that. All these transit systems go their own way. They have their own little announcement, but nobody ran a big announcement saying, hey, everybody in Dallas-Fort Worth, everybody in North Texas, here's how to find the nearest train station. Here's how to get to the airport.
So
there's no regional approach.
Well, not only that, would your cars have been safe? Like maybe and do something with security? It sounded like they needed a better PR job. Instead of the PR message of, oh, people will see that we're working for them and we're not taking the holiday off to work, you need a different messaging.
Yeah.
If you guys don't follow Bud Kennedy on social media, you should, because I remember, Bud, you posted about that. You said, take the train, y'all.
Yep.
And pointed out the exact same thing online, but you're 100% right about that. Wheeler, how are we going to you so much?
Well,
here,
because
man?
You skipped me, remember?
It says Wheeler's next here.
I'm bringing this back. Remember, or those of you who probably put it out of your minds, I'm bringing back the chajir. Remember that? It's half cheer, half jeer.
The chajir. Go ahead.
This is a chajir. And
I forgot about that.
This one goes to the legislature.
Can we get half
time,
a drink?
Yes, you take half a drink and
pour
a thumbs down.
Pour half of it out, yeah.
So
it's one of these.
I'm trying to remember the name of this representative. I think it's Oliverson. Oliverson from Tomball.
Yeah.
He, you know, a cheer to him because he did try to get this through in the legislative session where the state would give you some grant money to fortify your home. Fortified is the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety. They, you know, they're funded by the insurance industry. They beat the tar out of buildings to figure out how to build them back better. Mm. Okay, and they come up with all these recommendations and so on and so forth. They have a fortified program on how you can really strengthen your home. Several other states have already, and I'm talking about red states here: Alabama, Oklahoma. Offer you grants up to like $10,000 to retrofit your home, make it much stronger, much harder, so that when you get pounded by hail, it doesn't require another insurance claim, which makes your insurance go up more. And in fact, in those states, the insurance companies are part of the plan, and they agree to give you this huge discount on your insurance if you're fortified. Well, he tried to get the bill through, sailed through the House, died in the Senate this time. In a year when Texas is awash in surplus money to fund a program like this, and we all know what homeowners insurance premiums have been doing here in this state, and this would have helped to start addressing that by strengthening more of these homes. So a big cheers to the legislature for doing that. Cheers to him for at least bringing it up.
So it's a cheers.
Wait, but there's a second cheer.
But wait, there's more.
He is Senator Paul Bettencourt,
though.
Another turkey dinner topic.
Because they did set aside some of that record surplus, a big chunk of it. We just did a podcast on this, $600 million or so to the Texas A&M Wildfire Fighting Service. This is a lead state agency for putting out wildfires in this state, and we have a huge wildfire problem here in Texas, and it affects many more of us than we think. Many more of us are at risk than we think. They set them up. They're going to be able to create their own aerial fleet now so that they don't have to wait several days in some cases to get a federal tanker brought here and put in place to be able to douse these flames. And so this could be a real game changer in the years ahead.
Let's just cross our fingers. There's no wildfires here. But, yeah, that is dangerous. We need to get our producer, Daryl, a microphone over here. He's laughing and carrying on the entire time for this episode. Ashley, you're up next with Austin City Council again, is that right?
Yeah, the Austin City Council gets another thumbs down. This is a jeer. And it is because of the new logo that the city spent well over $1 million on design.
That.
This is not implementation. Jeez. They haven't even started paying the money to like put the logo everywhere. But this is to design a new logo, and it is awful. No, people do
not. You can do that online.
People do. You could ask ChatGPT. You could. But here's the other thing. Austin is full of, what did I say, GDP? That's my
GPT. What are you drinking in there again? Was it some?
I was like, is that an economics version of ChatGPT?
ChatGDP.
My news director will tell you I call it that all the time. I'm not all into the chats, okay, and the AIs and the bots, okay? Oh, it uses too much water, but that's another conversation for another day.
That is great.
But Austin is full of creatives.
100% on that. Come on.
Right? Austin is full of creatives. You could have had a contest, right? And then let them paint it somewhere, right? A free contest. And then you get to paint your logo. Yeah. And then people would have happily come up with something. Or what's wrong with the official seal? Maybe I'm just too old school. I like the little seal. But
and you could have given away, like, you know, passes to the next ACL or something to the winner. I mean, that would have been a lot more cost effective.
It would have been great, and you could have gotten it done for free, and I'm sure it would have looked better than this little A with no line in it. People do not like the logo. And
Ashley, $1 million.
More
do you
than
know
a million.
How many free lunches that could have gotten the man?
That's
the
a lot
city
of sweet
manager
green. That's a lot of sweet green. Yeah.
$1 million. That'll pay for a lot of salads.
Ashley, it was the worst new logo of the year, except for Cracker Barrel.
You know, let me tell you something. It kind of looks like Dallas's logo. It's giving Dallas a little bit.
And, which one?
And the city of Dallas's logo. And people in Austin, you know, that's not going to fly with them.
No, they don't want Dallas.
All the creative types, you guys don't like the Dallas people up here.
I get it.
Don't say y'all. I understand.
Don't listen to her. Bud, I 100% agree with this next one you have. You have a cheers.
I think this is a big cheers. To Taylor Sheridan, Billy Bob Thornton, Matthew McConaughey, and everybody who came down to the Texas legislature and kind of hornswoggled them into putting $6 billion into a fund for TV and movie production over the next 10 years. So that is a sum that will help TV, movies, film. You know, they said if you don't like what's on television, bring it to Texas. So they brought all the productions to Texas. Taylor Sheridan's been doing part of his Yellowstone series in Texas for a long time. Most of Landman's filmed in Texas. It's already bringing attention to Fort Worth, West Texas. I mean, Jason, I read about women who moved to Midland, Odessa just to meet a man like Billy Bob Thornton. They come down looking for him. You know, it's putting Texas on the worldwide map like nothing has since Urban Cowboy. And I think Texas.
Go ahead, bud.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think this is the kind of deal that even a landman could love.
And putting Midland and Odessa on the map never before.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I mean, if there are Ali Larders who are coming down here to find the Billy Bobs, Midland's going to be a different place in a few years.
But you know,
Move to y'all street. Don't go to Midland, Odessa, baby.
Oh, my gosh. Odessa listener. We appreciate you still listening here. No, but totally agree. I mean, I'm watching season 2 of Landman now. It's fantastic.
Their pitch reel that they put together, though, those actors, great. was phenomenal.
I just started
this.
Following them on Facebook here, and I'm getting, like, blown up with, like, every interview they've ever done, all the cast members. Hmm. It's great. So I have a jeers next. I didn't realize I had this many jeers, but...
See? It's not just me.
This jeers, if you're in North Texas and you don't agree with this, let me know. But, I mean, come on. The next one's for the Dallas Area Rapid Transit for DART. Hmm. You have 4, now possibly 5, of the 13 member cities trying to defect because they're complaining about the money spent and the services received. Listen, these cities are going to be around 50 to 100 years. The transit agency should be around in 50 to 100 years, but if it doesn't figure this out, it's not going to be around. Plano's mayor told us on our podcast and on our TV program, Inside Texas Politics, that, listen, if the voters decide that they do want to stay with DART, we're still going to go back to the legislature to try to get this fixed here. DART has let this fester for years without figuring it out, without adjusting the contribution rates. It's time to man up here, figure it out, get this thing beyond them. And like Bud said, too, let's marry these things together. Fort Worth has its own, you know, mass transit. Denton has... Arlington has micro transit. Dallas and the cities all around Dallas have DART here. It's 2025. We're going into 26. This is ridiculous.
And just being from, I guarantee you,
Tarrant County is not paying as much as Dallas County pays. And the problem is, as they say down on the farm, the fat hogs get slaughtered. And it's Dart collects way more money than it needs to run a transit system. And the cities have figured it out. They'd like to have some of that money back for policing, for street repair. They'd like to put some of that money back into their own city.
And they're asking voters to do that.
And just being from a household full of strong women, I'll say they could man up or woman up. Cheers to that. Just keeping you out of trouble.
All right, Wheeler, you're up next, man.
It's my last one. It's my final chijir.
A chijir.
I'm going to make this into a thing.
Who
before.
Is this?
Yeah, this one is for ERCOT and for the state. So ERCOT, they seemed like they did pretty well this year. We didn't, have a bunch of those conservation notices.
Tight days.
You know, there weren't all those days to be so worried about. Although we're in winter now, and that seems to be our Achilles heel. So we'll see if that can hold.
ERCOT, of course, is the
Electric Reliability Council of Texas. Yeah, they oversee the grid here.
Texas electric grid.
Which failed terribly, several years 21. Back, and they've been making a lot of changes. And, again, this year seems like it has gone fairly smoothly so far. You might want to knock on this table a few times. But a jeers part of this to the state you could have done, more. You're almost, a lot of the legislation was turned back this time, but it seemed like there was a real target on renewables in particular when, people who are in the know will tell you, we need every source of power we can get right now because we're building these data centers like it's nobody's business, and they suck a lot of juice. We're also, expanding. People are moving here. Businesses are building here. And we've got huge demand for electricity, and we got to do something. We've got crypto mining, which is very energy intensive, and we've encouraged that, too. We're going to have to be able to power all this stuff, and you've probably noticed that electric rates have not exactly gone down, and they're not expected to in 2026 either. It's only expected to keep getting more expensive, and so the state's going to really have to do, I think, more to comprehensively address that and probably be a little bit more willing to embrace the all of the above, and if it can generate some electrons, absolutely start it.
Demand's only going to go up in the state with people moving in with the data centers and everything else. Ashley, you're up next.
Yes, so I have a cheers to State Representative Nicole Collier. We kind of mentioned this earlier when we were talking about the Democrats breaking quorum, and we knew that they were going to be faced with some consequences. And one of the things that I think they weren't expecting when the Dems broke quorum is the amount of camaraderie it built within the Republican Party. Republicans really came together. They were kind of divided, especially over Justin Burroughs being the speaker, and they were divided, but they got really united behind the Democrats and punishing the Democrats. And so one of the punishments, you guys will remember when the Democrats came back, is they broke quorum, they came back, but if they wanted to leave the chamber, they had to agree to be under the, watch of a trooper. And
a state trooper, a
law enforcement officer. And all the Democrats, they signed. I mean, I don't think they were paying attention, right? They signed it, whatever. They want to go home and see their families and then come back and do what they got to do. But Nicole Collier said, no, absolutely not. I am not a criminal. I am not about to be escorted around by a state trooper like I have committed some sort of crime. And she slept, baby, in her bonnet with her blanket on the floor, did not leave. Good for you, right? The Democrats broke quorum, but they came back. They were not going to break quorum again, right? Like, that wouldn't have made any sense. They knew that the maps were going to pass. Like, at that point, it's unnecessary. It would have been one thing if the troopers actually would have went out and got them from wherever they were hiding and brought them in. That's one thing. But they came back of their own free will, and they were going to show up to do the work of the people in the House. And so that was just an absolute, it was for show, right? That they would even try to make them sign that. And the fact that she said, no, I am not a crime. She didn't do anything. They didn't do anything illegal. They did what is allowed. The rules allow them to break quorum. They were allowed to do that. So to think that they're going to just submit to a trooper, like, that was wild. And eventually more Democrats were like, you know what, Nicole, you're right. We shouldn't have signed that paper. We're going to stay here and sleep with you on the House floor. And it became a whole thing. But then they passed the bill. But
she held her ground there. And social media, I think, ended up making her a much more sympathetic figure. And again, that's why I was saying earlier, it's almost like the way that Republican leadership in this state responded to what the Democrats did and what she did in particular, it almost fueled the coverage for Democrats and made the story even bigger for them and made, you know, the success that they had with it bigger.
Well, and I don't think it was a sympathetic character. I think it showed her strength to show, like, she I did principle. Not do anything sure. wrong. Why would I agree to that?
Yeah.
And, Bud, you're up next with one that I think a lot of sports fans might agree with, or maybe agree with.
Yes.
Earlier in the show, we gave cheers to a couple who usually get jeers. This is going to be the other way around. We always think of Mark Cuban as somebody we cheer, but I think this was the year where the whole world seemed to jeer Mark Cuban. You know, he sold the Mavericks. He got his money. He had already hired Nico. Then he comes back in and tries to run the team and take over the team again. Even though he sold them, he's no longer in dominant control. Then the whole effect of the Adelsons taking over the Mavericks and the trade for Luka, just trading away Luka, trading him out of Texas. Adelsons lost popularity. Yep. Casinos lost popularity. Casinos took a beating in their legislature this year. They didn't even get close like they did 2 years ago. I think just about everything about the Adelsons' business has been hurt because of Mark Cuban, and the Mavericks are hurting too. You know, he runs a great pharmacy, Jason, but I think he got a jeer from the rest of the world for everything that's happened this year.
And he left Shark Tank.
Yeah.
I'm a Shark Tank fan. We watch Shark Tank a lot in the Whiteley House, and I'm going to miss him there on the end of the
row. He's really good on there. He's my favorite one on there.
Yeah. Well, he's fantastic. I'm a big fan of Mr. Wonderful, too.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that he's not up front for you, too, Wheeler.
No, I always liked Cuban. Cuban's a character, and I get why he sold the team. You know, it would have been great if it could have stayed local.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get it, you know, personally, but, man, that trade still smarts. And it doesn't help that the guy you gave away just happens to be lighting it on fire. Of course, this, you know, made him more hungry, but he is lighting it on fire as you are kind of struggling. And the guy who ended up, you know, pulling the trigger on the whole thing isn't even with the organization anymore. So you're like, what was all of that even for?
Yeah, and Nico didn't even get a mention here. Bud just mentioned him a little bit there, but
yeah. All right, he's gotten a lot of mentions this year, though. He's probably relieved to not get too many mentions.
That's true. All right, last one here, guys. It's Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
You know, people have their minds made up about Patrick. They love him or they hate him.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the deal. At the end of the day, Patrick is in solid control of one chamber of our legislature, the state Senate. He has, you know, for better or worse, you figure out a way to affect property taxes. I'm the first guy to complain about property taxes. And people always ask me all the time, oh, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I don't give my opinion about a lot of things. Property taxes are unbelievable. I'll give you my opinion on that out of the gate. And then the others that we mentioned here in this episode. He's addressed property taxes every year. He's raised the homestead exemption. He invested the money in public schools, while also $8.5 billion, while also putting aside money for vouchers that were a huge conservative win, too. He put $1 billion, I believe, into dementia research after doing the same thing a few years earlier for cancer prevention. He's hitting on all cylinders when it comes to conservative values, and he continues to maintain that leadership position. No one's challenging him.
He was very personal in pushing for that Alzheimer's and dementia research here in Texas. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as you said, people love him or they hate him. They're not in a gray area with Dan Patrick. I think a lot of his haters went, okay, there's one thing right there that I can definitely agree with you on, because that's bipartisan all the way through.
And we talked about Nicole Collier a moment ago, and one thing I liked about what you said, Ashley, Nicole stood on principle. Mm-hmm. She's like, forget it. A trooper's not following me around. Thank you. No thanks. You see people like Marjorie Taylor Greene who are like, oh, well, the MAGA movement, I think, was this, and we're no longer doing the MAGA movement. She's abandoned her office. She's abandoned the president, that relationship, and everything else. Dan Patrick, I remember a few years ago when there was a terrible shooting at the Walmart in El Paso. And you remember, Bud, you may remember this. Patrick goes off against and saying there needs to be something done with the NRA. The NRA is, wrong in its position that nothing needs to be done. And he caught a lot of flack for that. No other Republican in the state would have the nerve to say something like that. He had the nerve to say it. I mean, whether things went anywhere or not is a completely different story.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who could argue that he would need to do more on that issue.
Standing up to principle is something that a lot of people don't do.
Yeah.
And
he
for that...
He at least said it. Yeah, I mean, those were hard words to say for a Republican back then and even now.
Sure.
And again, some might want more action, but he said it.
He said it. He took the heat for it. So for that... The last cheers of this episode goes to Dan Patrick. Guys,
and cheers to you all for staying with us for such a long...
This is the longest episode. How long is this? 90 minutes?
About an hour. Actually, he's going to blame this on you and me.
Bud and I are succinct in our answers and our descriptions here.
Well, we can't help it that we're passionate people.
That's right, passion.
And
that's what it is.
We just want to express that, Jason.
We love the insight. I love the champagne flute you have there in your desk drawer. Bud, always love the context you bring every time we have you, man. So thanks so much for that, guys, and happy New Year. Let's hope that 2026 is a heck of a lot better than 2025 was.
Always.
You know?
Thanks, y'all. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.